hear wedding bells? Welcome to Into the Garden with Leslie. This podcast is sponsored by Dos Amigos Landscaping, Color Blends Bulbs, GreatGardenPlants.com, and artist Karen Blair. I'm Leslie Harris, and speaking of sounds, I was amused to hear some canine action in my last podcast. At the beginning, I could hear Ginny, my dog, and her toenails walking around me as I was recording, and at the end, I could hear a neighborhood dog barking. You know, I think I've mentioned this is no studio. Like, this is just me coming in from the garden, throwing a blanket over my head, and recording things for you. So I hope you enjoy the homespun flavor of it, dogs and all. And now, speaking of dogs, ooh, I'm strong on the segues so far in this episode. This is a curtailed episode. Get it? Dogs, curtailed. I've got some things going on that make it so I need to adjust the schedule and slip in this little bitty episode to help me out. I hope you understand. It's a busy time in the garden. So no plant of the week. We're going to move right along to my interview with my friend Robin Stafford, whose lovely daughter is getting married on June 10th. Our conversation takes place in April as she's getting ready, and she has been getting ready for months and months. It's going to be a beautiful country wedding. Before we get started with that interview, my other friend, Karen Blair, and it's nice to have at least two friends. Karen is a Charlottesville-based painter whose work is exuberant and bold with colors and shapes, and she takes commissions. She could even paint your garden. If you sent her a bunch of photographs, she could make this beautiful rendition with these amazing colors and shapes of your garden. So go to the show notes on lhgardens.com to see examples and links to her work, and you're going to love it. Coming up, we're going to talk with Robin Stafford about wedding preparation. I've got my pal Robin Stafford here, and I thought it would be fun to talk about, well, the wedding that's coming up on June 10th for her lovely daughter, Binx, but also to really include anybody who has a special thing coming up in their garden, whether it's a historic Garden Week tour or any other sort of tour or a garden party, and what you can do ahead of time to, or wedding, what you can do ahead of time to make it less stressful, more fun, and just feel like you've got the garden to where you want it. So welcome, Robin. How are you today?
Hi, good, Leslie. Thank you so much for having me on your podcast. Very exciting.
It's fun to have Robin on my podcast because Robin actually is a very big reason of why my podcast started. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. So a year in advance is a really handy thing to have, and not everybody will have that. But because you did, let's talk about the some of the first things you did in order to say, okay, we got a garden that we need to like spruce up. What was your timeline and what were your initial thoughts upon hearing this wonderful news?
Binx and Andrew got engaged, I want to say, in March of 2022, and shortly thereafter decided on their date, which was June 10th, 2023. And so June 10th, 2022, I took a very critical look at my garden. I spent hours walking around. What is still here? What's thriving? What is gone? What is still to come? What is just about to bud but hasn't? Of course, every year is different with weather changes, but it was a really good way to just kind of get the lay of the land. And you might hear June wedding, oh, roses and peonies. And well, in Charlottesville anyway, peonies are past. Mm-hmm. So my beautiful peony bed will be past. Roses, in most cases, have had their first bloom. And depending on the variety you have, we'll be gearing up for a second bloom. But in a lot of cases, the roses are not in their full beauty on June 10th either. So I started focusing on what was kind of guaranteed around that period. And it comes down to lilies and hydrangeas.
Lilies and hydrangeas, perfect, beautiful plants, also really popular with deer. So how are you dealing with that? Because you live on a sort of a bit of a farm out there, right?
Yes. Well, don't tell them, but for whatever reason, they have not found, I hope this doesn't come to pass now, Leslie, but they, knock on wood, they have not found the daylily borders or the hydrangeas. And I did get some great cuttings from you last year that I put in the fall, and those are thriving so far this spring. So knock on wood, they've definitely found the hostas. But we're okay so far. As my daughter says, you know, 95% of the people coming to the wedding live in urban areas, and we'll just be so excited to be in kind of this more farm setting.
Yeah.
You know, with pastoral views, that they are not going to be focused on the one hosta that was eaten by a deer, even though I can very easily focus on that.
But you're going to tell yourself not to, because you have better things to do on the day. That is a huge part of it. When I have people to my house, and when they're there for a garden tour, yeah, they're staring at plants. Their heads are down and they're like, what's this? And I'm looking at that. But if they're there for a cocktail party, even, or just a, you know, lunch with friends, they are generally looking through rose-colored glasses. And for a big event like this, they're not even really looking. It's just a beautiful backdrop. And they're concentrating on the bride. And, oh, look, Robin stained her dress with the red wine. You know, they're, and faces are what people really, I'm sure you're not going to do that. Faces are what people really want to concentrate on, right? So actually, I came down. I hope I got that message across, because I truly believe it. As you and I were looking, when did I come down to look at things last? Was it June or July?
It was either June or July. It was right after we had decided on the date, and you gave me some really good advice. Yes.
Good. And I hope that was part of it. Nothing to do with gardening, just the fact that people love faces and they focus on them, and a pretty backdrop is nice, but yeah, they're not going to look at every detail.
So when we decided where the reception would be, the tent, et cetera, and I, you know, kind of stood in the tent looking around, what would people see from this vantage point? I realized that one end of the tent faced this poison ivy, honeysuckle vines, all around a couple of dead ash trees.
Yeah, they might notice that. They might notice that.
They might notice that. Yes. So there was tons of poison ivy removal. We actually dug it all up. We didn't spray. Oh. So we dug it all up. We didn't get poison ivy too badly, a little bit. We took down tons of honeysuckle. And then I had a wonderful guy who came over and climbed the ash trees and took those down.
That's good. That's good. Were you able to keep the wood?
Yes, yes. He made these gorgeous stacks. It's hard to describe, but they're beautiful piles of logs, very artistic almost.
Oh, good. Yeah, my son is into that. There are books written on stacking wood beautifully. So that's a really nice garden ornament to have.
Exactly.
So with a year to go, you really were critical. You got rid of some poison ivy. Good on you. What were your next steps in terms of schedule for the garden?
So it's tough to plant in the summer, as you know, with the heat. And so I didn't do too much last summer other than start making lists and looking at some garden catalogs, et cetera, looking at ideas. The work really started in the fall as soon as temperatures dropped. I put in a lot of lilies and hydrangeas, started, and I also worked on grass. And I know, Leslie, you are moving away from grass yourself.
Well, no, I like lawns. I just don't like perfect grass without weeds. I like weeds now.
Yes, exactly. Yes. And I would say, since this is part of a larger farm, there are plenty of other things in the grass than grass. But I really needed to do a lot of seeding and just kind of beefing up the lawn. The fall is the best time, of course, to do that. So I did spend a lot of time aerating. I ordered this awesome pair of aerating shoes that look like Tevas with spikes on the bottom, 3-inch spikes. And you strap them on around your sneakers and just get a pair of ski poles or walking sticks, and you stride around your lawn, lifting your legs up and down. Oh no, I just pictured my neighbors seeing this.
Did you get any comments from those neighbors?
I did not, because they're at a far enough of a distance. I'm sure they just watched, you know, with their binoculars and laughed. But that was great. And I got, you know, 15,000-20,000 steps in every day while I was doing my aerating. So,
wow.
Yes, it was awesome. So the lawn really looks pretty good this spring. It's really looking good. So especially the areas where people will be gathering for cocktail hour and then heading for the reception.
That's so smart. When you mentioned earlier, as you imagined yourself standing under the tent, and what vantage point do the people have now? So that's the reception, and they've got a glass of wine in their hand, and maybe the conversation they're in isn't as scintillating as they would like. They're no longer going to see poison ivy and dead trees. And you figured that out, that they're going to see good things. Did you do that with multiple vantage points for various parts of the activities?
Yes, so for the cocktail hour, which is in a slightly different area, when the guests come up from the actual wedding site and sort of walk up the hill toward the cocktail area, they will be going through a pretty simple perennial borders. And again, I may have an 11th hour dash to the nursery 2 days before to get some things. I also got married at home. In Connecticut at my mother's house, and she had been married there because it was her parents' house. And I still have this memory of waking up my wedding morning at 5 in the morning and going downstairs, and my mother was just putting all of these lilies right into the ground and maybe even still in their pots just to add some color anyway. And, 8 hours later, people arrived.
So I did not know that you had gotten married at home. So you have that perspective.
Yes.
And then what is that like compared to Binx's and Andrew's participation in this and su or support or opinions? How's that going?
Yes. Well, Binx is in law school, so she is really busy winding that up. She has not done too much. She helped a couple of weekends earlier this spring. She's busy with school. I would say she's a very unfussy bride, and she is much more concerned with kind of the big picture and just how it feels, I think, is more important to her. I wouldn't say she even would say she cares for this color flower or that color flower. She knows tons of plants by now after living with me, but she's not obsessed with the details. So that leaves me to be obsessed.
That leaves you to be obsessed. And Andrew, does he care one wink, or does he just want that signature cocktail poured for
He
him?
definitely is very excited about his signature cocktail. He appreciates, I mean, I send her pictures every couple of days, check out this new area I just put mulch on.
Yay.
And she's so happy and forwards them along to him. Oh, Andrew thinks it looks amazing. When I got married, I was living in Brooklyn with my, well, let me see. I guess I was living in DC, but came up for a few, a couple months pretty regularly before the wedding, and helped my mother just uncover little sidewalks and do a ton of gardening. So there's not quite as much to do here.
Yeah. And on the day of your wedding, do you remember people getting comments? Do you remember it being like worth all the effort?
Yes, I do. I do. People thought it was just beautiful. Something my mother did, and I'm actually copying this. She had a friend who had a large cutting garden and knew of other people with a cutting garden. This was before the day of, Instagram DIY flowers, and but it was basically that model. And so my mother and a couple of friends just went around to these cutting gardens and gathered enough flowers. And then my mother, they arranged them in vases that they all kind of contributed. For Binx's wedding, I actually learned about a cut flower farm in this area in Nelson County from your podcast, Leslie.
Oh, good.
You may remember in your early days talking to the owner of Blue Heron Farm, not far from here. And that was the first place we called that gave me the great idea to let's just get flowers in this area. And that is one thing Binx especially is really concerned about. She doesn't like the idea of lots of things for this wedding being flown here for just a day. So she's really trying to just get things locally.
That's fantastic.
It's so good. So we have, I think, they have a limit on how many buckets you can get. So we're actually getting flowers from three farms total. And I have a wonderful friend who, in an earlier life, was a flower designer. And so she is coming down from Massachusetts. She's also a very good family friend. So she'll be here for a couple of days, and we will be putting together all the flowers in the garage.
Oh, that sounds great. I might have to see what I have to bring you in a couple of buckets and see if I can. I'm terrible at arranging, but I could cut some things and bring them. We'll see.
Oh, wonderful.
Hey, I had an idea about these roses that just popped into my head. It might be totally inaccurate, but if it were me, I think that I would look at the roses that will have gone through their first beautiful flush. And I would cut some of those like now for your own pleasure to bring into your kitchen or whatever. I wouldn't go hog wild on one whole shrub, but I would cut a couple of big sprays, your most mature sprays now, and see if you get lucky. So Robin and I are talking in late April. This wedding is June 10th. And if if I'm right, when you go to prune a plant, it just wants to rejuvenate. And all it wants to do is reproduce, and it can only reproduce through seeds that come from flowers. So you might want to do a bit of foraging now to get some bouquets for your own pleasure and possibly get an earlier second flush that might correspond with the wedding. I mean, worth a few snips, don't you think?
Yes, no, definitely. Definitely. I will. I just noticed, you know, a lot of the roses have budded now. So mm-hmm. I'll keep an eye on them. But no, that's a great idea.
And I even might, I mean, I said to cut the flowers. I might even cut those buds. Like, sorry, you're the sacrificial lambs, you know, before they even flower, to say, because that plant could react and say, oh, I need to put more flowers out. So think about it. Like I said, don't ruin a bush, because it might be a horrible idea, but it just occurs to me that it's common sense that the plant would react that way if you were to do a little surgery.
Okay, great. I might talk to you offline about the timing details of that.
I'm talking this afternoon, baby.
Oh my gosh. I'll send you a picture and let you see how far along they are if you think it's a good idea. Ah.
Okay. So speaking of schedule, a little risk taking with gardening. Speaking of schedule, you did that really good assessment. You waited to not garden hard in summer, which is so smart. It's backbreaking, and you just end up accidentally killing things if you turn your back and we get a drought or some, you know, some little root gets exposed to too much heat or, you know, dry. So planting in fall is a really good idea. What did you do through winter and early spring?
Winter, we had no snow this winter, you may remember. And it really, you know, it was pretty balmy a lot of the time. So this winter and early spring, I focused on edging the existing beds, just making the lines look a little more intentional. Again, this is a farm setting, so I don't want it to look too fussy or too suburban. So I would say I refined the existing beds. I dug out a couple of new ones. Again, as I mentioned earlier, I can't understate how long all of the poison ivy and honeysuckle refining of those areas took. That was really quite a labor, but it looks incredible. But that took a lot.
Did you cover up with clothes to keep you from getting the rash too badly? Did you choose a cool day so you could cover up?
Oh, yes. No, definitely. Always covered up. Make sure my gloves are over the cuffs of my shirt. Yeah, made sure no skin was exposed. And then really careful about the tools. And after you touch the plant and then you touch the handle of the tool and the oil is on there. I was really careful about that. Tons of rubbing alcohol. So I've managed to, not get too bad a case.
Yay, I'm glad. I think that edging beds is such a great thing to do. It's so easy. It's kind of mindless, and it just does clean up those lines. Like you said, yours is a little bit of a less formal event because of the setting and Binx's desires, but it just makes everything look finished. You and I had a couple of back and forth via text about mulching and timing of mulch, and I think that I would love to just share with any listeners that there is no special timing of mulch. It's whenever, it's a finished look, and you can do it whenever you want. There is another hack in terms of a big bed that you might not want to spend the time or effort to do the entire mulch scene on that big, deep bed. For instance, in my back garden, if I were to have a formal tour again, there's no way I'm mulching that back hillside. But what I would do is mulch the first foot or 2 feet along every path. So it's like a cue that this is a garden bed. I care about it. But guess what? There are dried leaves in the middle because I'm not doing that whole thing. So it's a really good idea to just make things look neat, but not work too hard. How did you end up doing with the timing of your mulch?
Yeah. So it's still ongoing.
Oh
yes. We have put down a lot. And I have a really large holly tree, and we edged a big circle under that holly tree. And right now I'm looking at it. I think, you know, it looks beautiful just with the dark brown earth. Do I really need to cover it with mulch? So there are a couple garden beds I still need to spread some mulch. I want to say one more pickup truck load should do it.
What kind did you choose?
So that triple shredded mulch that's at Panorama Farm.
Hardwood bark. That is the neatest look, I think. And it also, it sort of holds together really well if you're on a slight hillside. It just kind of blends. And it actually does that so well that it can keep some water out if it's spread too thickly. But it's a really good product, a finished product. It looks beautiful when it's freshly applied. Toward the end of the summer, you'll notice some fading, but the wedding will have been all gone and it's still doing its job protecting the soil.
Exactly. That's another thing. I remember my mother out with her garden hose, spraying a little water to darken up the mulch that day.
And you can scuffle hoe it too, to get the, you know, the stuff that's darker and hasn't been exposed to the sun up and out. And it looks really neat. You're also probably stirring up some weed seeds, but that's okay for the day, you know, to just take a hoe and say, okay, this mulch that has become kind of flat is now going to look fluffy again, like it was on the same day that I put it down.
Yes.
What are some other things that people should keep an eye on as they're coming up to the big event? Shopping?
Yes.
More shopping.
Well, I would say, I think you'd asked me at another point, you know, what did you do differently this year than you might do in a regular gardening season? And I would say after I looked at the whole timetable of June 10th and which things were not going to be quite in bloom, you know, there's that whole later's echinacea and yarrow and all those beautiful things that are not quite out in June here. I realized I would do some filling in with annuals. And so I have gotten more annuals this year than ever before, just to fill in some spots. And not only in pots that are around and urns, but also in some of these beds, things like, let's see, little petunias and snapdragons, just lavenders and blues and pinks and whites too.
So you wouldn't have hit the nurseries hard for annuals in other years.
Right. Really, for planters, for pots, I would have, but not to actually put into these borders. But this year I am kind of filling in the perennial borders with some just pops of color that I know will be, you know, in full color that day.
Well, I think that's worth it. I think that's a great decision. And if you're lucky, you'll get some self-seeding and maybe some memories of the day in future summers. What's guided you in terms of spending money for Binx's wedding as compared to spending money for things that you ultimately might have decided to spend money on for yourself, like for the day? Or for this farm and for me and for future? What are your perspectives and priorities there?
So I would say, of course, we have, you know, the expenses that go along with having a wedding at your place. Things as unglamorous and unexciting as porta potties and
yay.
Yay for porta potties. And the tent, et cetera, things like that. So I think when I thought about the work I was going to put in, I have to go back to the poison ivy honeysuckle area. After we cleared that, we ended up putting in a new kind of curved bed in that area. And that, of course, all of that work is going to be with us for years. So that even though the wedding inspired it, I've been at this house for 4.5 years and had just ignored that whole area of chaos at that side of the field. Now that it is refined, it's so beautiful. So even though technically it was done for the wedding, it feels like just kind of a longer term investment. As I mentioned, the annuals, I wouldn't have, in a normal year, wouldn't have gotten as many annuals. This year, that's really a wedding investment. And I guess that's it. But I would say I know this place intimately now. I have really been crawling around every part of this yard and perimeter now getting ready. So I feel like I'm that much more just personally invested in this place, having prepared it for this day. So, and I hope, I'm sure a lot of this work will, you know, I'll keep noticing it next year.
Yeah, you'll stay happy. I had a happy memory of my garden being on Historic Garden Week 2 years ago. I, just for visitors, not for anything else, it was just, I knew it would be a one and done, did a huge installation of sun-loving tulips in a shade bed. And they all came up and it was a good show. And then the next year, maybe 30% of them came up and I was surprised at that. And then this year, 4 came up. I'm like, congratulations, you guys. I don't know who you are that you are determined to come up in amongst ferns and hostas, but you're a good memory of the day. So it's kind of fun to do that. As I was going through my decision-making for that tour, I also tried to keep it, you know, mine was a little different. I wasn't doing this for my daughter, whom I love. I was doing this for people that I don't know. And the Garden Club of Virginia, which is a wonderful entity, but not my daughter. So I made sure that I kept the perspective of, do I want this just for them? or do I want this for me for future? And I tried to weigh much more heavily on that side of it, because, you know, it's a one and done event, whereas yours is one and done. And yet it's something that all of you can enjoy forever, all of these things that you're putting in that are more permanent. Did you do any infrastructure changes besides getting rid of trees and that kind of thing?
No, luckily we didn't have to. So that was great. I might hose off a couple sides of the house before the day and paint the front porch, but no infrastructure changes. You know, I was thinking, what will I do? The wedding is June 10th. What will I do Monday, June 12th? Should I go away and just collapse somewhere? And then I realized, no, the place will never look better.
Right.
And it will just be me here again. And I should just stick around for a couple of weeks and just enjoy, you know, all the work and how beautiful it is.
My recollection of having our daughter get married was the next day I didn't want to produce many words, very few syllables. I had done all my talking. And so you might not be in the mood to invite people over, but, you know, it might be, you're a very social creature, and it might be fun to say, hey, come and enjoy this place. We don't have to stand in high heels. Just come sit and have a glass of wine with me and decompress. And let's gossip about how it went. I think that's a great idea.
Do you want to come over, Leslie, June 12th?
Yes.
Perfect.
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. And see the glory. Let's talk about, do you expect to actually have people talking about the garden on the day? And would you be disappointed if they didn't? Or do you know that it's just like a beautiful background and you're not too worried?
Yes, I think it's more a background and more part of the setting. I would say this house doesn't have a garden per se. There are, you know, the peony bed, azalea beds, shade garden that surround the immediate house. It's not really a garden that you walk into. So I would say the perennial borders, all of those are kind of framing it without necessarily being in the garden. So I think people will notice just the overall setting without saying, oh, the garden looks beautiful. It will just kind of, I hope people will say, oh, the place looks great.
Okay, good. I think that's a really good perspective to have, because again, it's you know, you're working into the details, but you want them, your people there, to just have a wonderful, good day at a beautiful location.
Exactly.
What kind of plan Bs have you put in place in case of rain?
Yes, well, there really is only one alternative plan, and that is to move everything under the tent, which, you know, that could happen. Let's hope it doesn't. Let's hope we have great weather. If it does, though, you know, it will still be wonderful. And, you know, sometimes those turn out to be the most fun of all when everybody is, you know, banded together as the rain is lashing the tent. Let's hope not, though.
All right. Can you think of anything else that listeners might get from you in terms of good value for planning for an event?
Well, I guess my one piece of advice is to try to tackle one thing a day. I can become overwhelmed when I think I still need to mulch that area. I still need to dig out those tree wells. I still need to plant the annuals over there. I still need to weed that area. Then it can become overwhelming. But if I say, okay, on Tuesday, I'm going to put half the annuals in. On Wednesday, I'm going to do a little more edging, whatever, and just take it step by step. And then every time I go outside, it just slowly is appearing more finished, but not overwhelming.
In the week leading up to the wedding, you're going to have so many things to think about. It's just this list of, okay, this, that have nothing to do with the garden. And yet the garden will want your attention in the last week. Are you going to make time for it? Are you going to say, nope, now is the time to get some help and whip out the checkbook? What do you think?
Well, the great thing is that my two able-bodied sons will be here for that week before the wedding, and they have asked for their list. And so they will be doing things like putting lights in the trees and lots of little, there are a couple little last minute earth moving tasks I have for them on the tractor. So I will really utilize them. And other than that, I have some great friends. I mentioned my friend who's helping with the flowers. I have my three best college friends all coming from the West Coast, and they love to garden. They are coming a couple days early. So I want it to feel like a lot of people have taken part in putting this day on without them feeling, you know, oh, Robin doesn't want to pay for help. And so she's just using her friends. I just want it to feel I want it to feel like a collective effort. And I think it will. People have been so wonderful about offering to help with different things. And I never say no to that.
That's fantastic. So I realize that most listeners won't have done this all by themselves, but it's really cool to hear from somebody who has. And let's talk for a minute about your wonderful kickstart for this podcast. Tell us, take us back to when were we? We were in April of 2020, and your job, tell the listeners what your job is and how it had to change because of the pandemic.
I work for the University of Virginia. With UVA clubs, which are regional alumni clubs around the country and international as well. And I had just started the job in December of 2019, and just 3 months later was sent home with the rest of my department. And our purpose at UVA is to engage alums at these regional events. It's a very, you know, face-to-face going out and just being with the alums. And all of a sudden we were home. And I thought, my gosh, I've only been in this job 3 months and I haven't proved myself and I'm basically going to be obsolete. And I started thinking about ideas for programming, and people were talking, had started talking about Zoom programs, virtual programs for alums. And I knew that Leslie Harris, my good gardening friend, had this gorgeous garden and also conveniently was an alum of the University of Virginia, which was one of the criteria for these programs. And so I asked her if she would be game to do a virtual garden tour. And we had enormous response. I think 1,200 registrants day of. Since then on our YouTube channel, Leslie's virtual tour has upwards of 4,000 views.
So, holy cow.
Yes. Yes. I haven't updated you on those numbers lately, but it was a hugely successful program. And when I presented it originally, people said, don't you think we just want to stick with politics and epidemiology because of the, you know, the pandemic? And I said, I think a lot of people would like to see Leslie's garden. And we took that risk and it was terrific. And little did we know it would then launch your podcast and all the great things you've done since then.
Yeah. Somebody, a local radio person, heard it and said, come speak on the radio. And I did that for a while. And then as long as you're making an audio file, you might as well make it into a podcast. And that is, Robin got me started. And then we did it again in the fall, remember? And it was, I don't know if it was quite as well received. Maybe they were sick of me, but it was so fun because it was just Jeff walking around and, you know, my husband with an iPhone. And then we sent these videos to your team who really spiffed them up a lot. It didn't look like one of my Instagram JV things. But thank you for that, Robin. I appreciate the kickstart.
Sure. Oh, it was great. What I remember about that fall program was your technique for planting bulbs. Just dig a big hole and throw them all in.
That's right.
Doesn't matter if they land right side up.
They'll figure it out. They got some sense in them. That was really fun. So listeners, I hope you've enjoyed this. And if you have something fun coming up in your own garden, or if you know somebody that does, I think this would be quite valuable information. Robin, thanks for the visit. And you have the most adorable Frenchie sitting on your lap. So I'm enjoying this Zoom even more. Sorry that you listeners are missing out. What's his name again?
Hugo.
Hugo. Yeah. Hi, Hugo. All right, cutie. Thank you. And thanks for listening to Into the Garden with Leslie.
Are you ready to create the garden of your dreams? GreatGardenPlants.com is here to help with perennials and shrubs delivered to your front door. With over 800 plants to choose from, you'll find exciting new varieties as well as old favorites. And their website makes it really fun to choose what to get depending on what you need and even when to have it shipped. And if you're worried about shipping plants in the mail, don't worry. They arrive in great condition and they're guaranteed. As a listener of the show, you can save 10% on your first order with the code GARDENWITHLESLIE. So visit greatgardenplants.com and get shopping and happy gardening. I'm excited for Robin and Binks and Andrew getting married. I hope it's such a happy day and I hope they have great weather. I followed up with her about that spur of the moment suggestion about the rose snipping. I'm glad I said to go lightly because it was kind of a guess on my part. If you remember, she knew that some of the roses would have gone past on June 10th, the day of the wedding. So she wondered if there was anything she could do about it, My suggestion with 6 weeks prior when we were speaking didn't work out for new blooms. It didn't even work out for new buds. So what do I know? But I'm happy to report that instead of having fresh cuts of what she would have had to get rid of because she would have had to deadhead those roses because the blooms would have gone past, well, with the snip she made 6 weeks ago, there's at least fresh foliage going into the wedding. So slight win on that idea. Hey, if you're interested in seeing those YouTube videos in which I'm walking around my garden for the sake of the UVA clubs in the middle of a pandemic, it was actually really fun to put those together. And, you know, Jeff and I did the videos, but UVA made it look very professional. I'll put links in my show notes to both of those YouTube videos, and you can really get a good look at my garden. Although, because it's a garden, it's kind of changed since then, but not too much. You could really say that Robin was the one who got me started on this podcast because of her idea for the UVA Club's virtual events. I wanted to quickly tell you about a fun garden tour that I had with my new friend Liz Hayes up in Arlington, Virginia. She has a beautiful garden, mostly woodland type, but she recently lost a big tree, and once she conquers her Houghtonia cordata problem, that's the plant they call chameleon plant. Well, once she eradicates it or begins to, or just sort of gets it under control a little bit, she's going to have some great opportunities to grow some sun-loving things in the front of her yard for the first time. Why am I telling you this? Well, for two reasons. One is a public service message to never have Houghtonia cordata in your garden. Although I must say I have a lovely display of it and it never misbehaves for me. Why is that? Because it is surrounded by a garage on one side and 6-inch concrete walls on the other three sides. I think it's this area that somebody must have built a foundation for a garden shed. It's 6-inch concrete walls. That stuff is not making it through. I couldn't resist bringing it home from a client's yard one time because we were eradicating it there, and I knew how dangerous it was. I was either going to put it in a pot or this area with 6-inch concrete walls. Unfortunately, Liz has it in her garden beds. By the way, if you're not familiar with this plant, it's a ground cover from China, I think, from Asia. And it's very pretty. It's got some interesting, cute little white flowers. It grows about 12 inches tall. It has a funny smell to it. It doesn't smell great. But the thing I like about it is the amazing variegation with yellows, greens, and even reds. Unfortunately, my new friend Liz has it in garden beds, and the roots go down very deep. And when you have an invasive like that that's entangled with your perennials and other things that you want to keep, it's just so discouraging. My suggestion for her was to just like set aside 10, 15 minutes a day and gradually conquer the problem. That stuff grows fast, but what you take away in 10 minutes can't be replaced in the same 10 minutes, so you would gradually begin to conquer it. In Liz's case, I'm afraid to say that the exercise might take her several years, but think of the satisfaction. Oh, and one other quick suggestion. When you're trying to disentangle an invasive plant from something that you want, depending on the root system, sometimes it's very easy to see the difference between the good roots and the bad roots. Let's say you have a phlox entangled with the disreputable thing that you want to get rid of. In that case, dig up the phlox and have a look. If you really can't see the difference between the two sets of roots, I think you have to ditch the whole thing. And Lord, do not put it in your compost pile. You can solarize it in a plastic bag in the sun, or I guess you could just put it in the garbage if that's a better choice for you. Anyway, back to the sunny scene where you really can see the difference and feel confident about pulling out the roots of the invasive. Now you've wrestled your phlox out of the soil for quite a while, but you've freed it up from these other roots. It's always great to choose a day that's, say, not sunny and 95 degrees and windy. Before you replant your phlox, give it a really good haircut so it doesn't have as much foliage to support, and water it in well. That's just general good information for any plant that's stressed. And in the situation of invasive plants taking over your garden, you're going to be stressed too. So limit yourself to a little bit of time each time you garden and consider hiring some help. If you do that, make sure that you teach the person exactly what the good plants are and what the bad plants are. And in reaction to the stress that you're going through with this situation, Liz, consider a nice glass of wine every time you make some progress in getting rid of the horrible thing that you wish had never come to your garden. The second reason that I'm telling you about my visit to Liz's garden is that she hired me as a consultant. I know plenty about gardening, and there are plenty of people who know plenty more. But sometimes it's great to have just a fresh set of eyes and some questions answered about what you're dealing with, what you're growing, what might be better, what's working well. If you're interested in having me look at your garden, and if you live on the Eastern Seaboard, or if you're willing to pay for me to visit you in Bali, just shoot me an email and maybe I could help you out. I hope your garden is looking great. Here in mid-May, we are just finishing up with the alliums, which put on such a great show. Huge purple Dr. Seuss balls sticking up and saving me from looking at the mess of daffodil foliage. They're just so funky and fun. I get mine from Color Blends, which is a third generation bulb company offering top size flower bulbs directly to ambitious residential gardeners and landscape professionals at wholesale prices. And quickly mentioning my last sponsor, Dos Amigos, who I really don't talk about enough, I just want to give you all a friendly reminder that a big landscaping company like Dos Amigos does a lot of mowing and a lot of blowing. But I'm so excited that they're looking into and succeeding in replacing all internal combustion engines that they can with electric gear. We're talking mowers, blowers, string trimmers, even vehicles. If you didn't catch my interview with Matt Berry, who owns Dos Amigos, a few weeks back on episode 89, you might want to do that. And just remember that the people who work for you in your yard are actually working for you. And in the nicest way possible, you may be able to bring up with them the subject of their introducing some quieter and less harmful, in terms of pollutants, equipment on their trucks. It's just something to think about. Hey, time to go. This was a quick one. I named this show Into the Garden with Leslie because I'm really into my garden. I want to get you into yours, and I will see you soon.